Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
News today, the Hillsboro Hops have signed an agreement with Major League Baseball. It's a 10-year agreement, Professional Development League agreement. For those who haven't been tracking what's going on with Minor League Baseball, Major League Baseball, in December, the Arizona Diamondbacks announced that the Hops would be their single-A advanced affiliate. This increases their game schedule from 76 to 132. It also, I think, brings some better players to the market. Here to talk about it, K.L. Wambacher, friend of this show and the GM of the Hillsboro Hops. How you doing? This is good news, man.
Oh, it's great news, John. It's I've used the term historic day, and it truly is. It's a complete new era for Major League Baseball, for the 120 teams in the PDL. It's really, really exciting to finally get this committed to, and now we can start entering this new life and finding the new opportunities that are gonna exist.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but usually I have felt like you've kind of been on a rolling 2-year deal with the teams that you've been with, and now this is a 10-year deal. Why the longevity?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I think what's interesting is it's a completely new arrangement. So in the past, we've had 2-year affiliations with the Arizona Diamondbacks. You could either sign a 2 or a 4-year. And then we were a member of Minor League Baseball, and Minor League Baseball was operating out of St. Petersburg. They had a 8-year commitment with Major League Baseball that would spell out the terms of player development. That agreement is now over. That agreement expired September 30th and had been rolling, you know, 8-year terms for 120 years. So there is no more Minor League Baseball. And now Major League Baseball has developed their own player development system, brand new system, that will operate out in New York, and they've invited the 120 teams to be part of this new system. So that's what I mean by historic day, is this is a massive shift for player development within Major League Baseball, and we just couldn't be more excited to be a part of it.
Hillsboro Hops President K.L. Wambacher is with us. The release sort of indicated that there would be some upgrades to the facility at Ron Tonkin Field. What are we talking about?
Well, we can't talk too much about it yet because we're working on those plans with the city, but we hope to have some concrete information in May or June and potentially some new renderings. But part of the new PDL with Major League Baseball is updated facility standards. They hadn't been updated since the 90s. So there are a bunch of new requirements that teams will have to meet by around 2024 to meet the new facility standards for Major League Baseball. So we're using that as an opportunity to think long term with our venue as well, and what can we do from a player development standpoint, but also what can we do from a fan experience standpoint to position this venue for long term success.
For listeners in Eugene, the Emeralds in Eugene have the Class A affiliation for the San Francisco Giants, so it's nice to see Eugene and Hillsboro kind of on the same path, KL. But does this mean better players here longer term? What should we expect to see on the field?
Yeah, the difference between High A and where we've been is vastly different. More than double the amount of players advanced to the big leagues from High A than they do at the short season A level where we previously were. And then you've got the long season. So we open, you know, in April, typically we'll play 132 games. And in the past, we might have high draft pick pitchers that come in here and they're on inning counts. They only pitch an inning or two. Now we'll see those guys in a starting role, can pitch 6 or 7 innings. We might have the Christian Robinsons of the world that play here for a month and move on to long season ball. Now we'll see those guys for a full season and potentially even 2 seasons. And with so many guys jumping from Double A to the big leagues now, High A, you're right next to Double A. So, you know, you're 1 or 2 steps away from the big leagues. So the skill level is going to be so much more advanced. I mean, it's a 2-year advance from where we've been, which is going to be phenomenal for the baseball fans.
The business part of this, this new deal and the new structure with MLB, it seems as though it would open up some opportunities for national sponsors, maybe some media rights. How does that work in the business side of it?
Yeah, the business side is really exciting for a team like ours. I mean, we're in a major market, and we haven't necessarily been able to really leverage our major market because of our affiliation with minor league baseball. Now, you know, the table that MLB sits at is a different table than MILB, minor league baseball. And so now MLB is going to look at it as they have their 30 major league teams and their 120 minor league teams. They've got 150 of the best markets in the country that they'll be able to leverage and aggregate for national sponsorships, for digital, for streaming rights, for a lot of those major opportunities from a financial standpoint that could now benefit us, which we didn't have access to that in the past.
It's, you know, it's been a strange year. Everybody's kind of looking around going, when can we get back to normal? Do you have a sense on sort of your hope for this season, fans in the stadium? I know it's subject to health regulations locally and otherwise, but what's your feeling and what are you hearing?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm feeling very optimistic now. I mean, if you asked me 30 days ago when the vaccine rollout wasn't going as well as a lot of people hoped, you know, I was a little disappointed, but I'm feeling really good now. I mean, we're ramping up. The numbers are plummeting. Hospitalizations are plummeting. You know, we can kind of start to visualize what 30 days from now, 60 days from now, and 90 days from now is going to look like. And it's today versus 30 days ago is vastly different. So I feel very optimistic. We're looking at early May for a start of our season. And I think we'll have fans in the stands from day one. I think we'll want to be smart with capacity. You know, we'll want to continue to keep some safety measures in place. But hopefully by May, I would imagine all of our high-risk population is going to be fully vaccinated by then.
K.L. Wambacher, president of the Hillsboro Hops, is with us. Did it get dicey for you guys? Because I know in December the announcement came down. But did you know all along that you guys felt pretty secure, or is any change in structure when minor league baseball is kind of going away and major league baseball is taking over, does any kind of change there make everybody nervous?
Yeah, no, we were nervous. We were nervous. I mean, it's been a challenging year for anyone in minor league baseball. When you combine COVID and then you combine this massive shift with major league baseball all at once, it was a lot. And, you know, even in the fall, we didn't know until December, early December, last time I talked to you, that we were going to be for sure in the new system. And when you go from 160 teams down to 120 teams and you hear them talking about eliminating short season baseball and your franchise has been in short season baseball for a long time, it's enough to make you nervous. But, you know, we've had a great partnership with the Diamondbacks going on 20 years now. We were in communication with them. They reassured us that we were a top priority for them to make sure we were part of this new system. And I think our partnership with them and also the success of other teams in our league is what really allowed us to be part of the new system. And then not only to be part of the new system, but they jumped us to high A. We were expecting to be a low A team and just, you know, kind of be at the lowest level of the new system. But they jumped us to high A and flip-flopped us with the California League, which is very, very exciting.
Yeah, and I think it's neat to see that, and I like the increase in games because we got a longer season. It means I can be out there with the family, sitting in the stands trying to catch my first foul ball, KL.
Absolutely, absolutely. You've got almost twice as many opportunities now.
I might buy season tickets just for myself and sit there with my glove. Nobody bother me. I'm here to get a ball, so we can do that.
Well, you got to come out with the decreased capacity. Your odds go up.
Cut down my increase my chances. Hey, KL, congratulations to you, to ownership, to the players, to the team. I'm excited to see what happens both in Hillsboro and in Eugene. I know people in Salem are not thrilled about how everything went down. Who else will you be playing? Where does sort of the circumference of this league go now?
Vancouver, BC will remain with Toronto. Everett will remain with the Mariners. Tri-Cities is switching to the Angels, and then Spokane is switching for the Rockies, and then us and Eugene. So we'll have a 16 league at this point going forward.
KL Wambacher, you're the best, man. I appreciate you. Thank you, and congratulations.
My pleasure, John. Thanks so much for having us on with this day.
You bet. There it is. That's big news for the Hops. Big news, of course, down in Eugene. I know people in Salem are not happy with this. I think it's a step up for the region when you talk about going from short season A-ball into sort of the high A classification. I did get a little frustrated. Like, I knew I was at a baseball game when I was at a Hillsboro Hops game. But I got to be honest, I played college baseball. I was looking around the stadium going, am I about as good as that guy out in right field? Just kind of watching the players. And I was wondering how many of these guys really would even advance to advanced A, when it was a short season team. It was more about just being at a ballpark and seeing a game going on. And now I am with those of you out there that are excited to not only to be back at a sporting event when this season starts, but to see prospects that, you know, clearly are headed somewhere big. I think that's important. That's an important development. Congrats to the Hops. Congrats to the Emeralds and Eugene as well, who are the San Francisco Giants advanced A team now. All right, leave it here. I got more to talk about, including a tone-deaf hire by Urban Meyer. Leave it here. Tyler Shuck announced this morning that after the awkward quarterback shuffle in the Fiesta Bowl, he is going to compete elsewhere. He's going to transfer. He's in the transfer portal. He tweeted out a screenshot. He thanked his coaches. He thanked the fans. He thanked Coach Feld and the entire strength staff at Oregon. He thanked the athletic trainers, said how much he appreciated. He said, quote, I will forever cherish the bonds that we've built together, end quote. Once a duck, always a duck, he said. And then he said, I'm not a duck anymore. He's jumping into the transfer portal as a graduate transfer, and he'll have three more years of eligibility. Tyler Shuck taking his talents elsewhere. Anybody who saw the Fiesta Bowl should not be surprised by this. I thought Oregon and the Fiesta Bowl announced pretty much that they were not big believers in Tyler Shuck. I think Oregon was kind of dabbling around Anthony Brown into the game, wanted to see him a little bit. I think Shuck jumped into the game, and I really felt for Oregon that there was sort of an ulterior motive during that game was, you know, yeah, they were trying to win the game, but I think they were also trying to figure out, like, which of these two guys is our number two? And I think we all saw enough of Tyler Shuck to know that he was okay as a quarterback, but I think we also saw enough to know that he was not the kind of guy capable of taking you to a college football playoff. There, I said it. It's out there. I think Oregon's coaching staff acknowledged that by sort of, putting him in the game, taking him out of the game in the Fiesta Bowl. I think they wanted to see more Anthony Brown. Clearly, Ty Thompson, the guy that they've got on campus, the freshman incoming, he's already there, is their quarterback moving forward with maybe Anthony Brown sitting off to the side waiting to come in, or maybe, in case he's not ready. But I don't think that this is about anything more than Tyler Shuck realizing that he's about to get beat out. We'll talk to Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports, more about it coming up at the top of the hour. I also want to talk about the snow that's going on outside. Is it snowing where you are? Is there snow on the ground downtown? Peter Sampson, you stayed in a hotel downtown for crying out loud. What was that like?
Well, I actually ended up skipping the hotel, stayed with my girlfriend in East Portland.
What?
Arrived there and her power was out. The entire neighborhood between Powell and Division there on Caesar Chavez had lost power. That was an adventure. I was watching the Blazer game at like 240p on my iPad. It's snowy, man. It was coming down just the ice crystals. When I got out of town yesterday, you could just hear it just plink, 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 plink all over the ground. Yep. And yeah, it is a winter wonderland out there right now.
I can tell you right now, my kids are out in the driveway. Like, they were like, hey, Dad, do you want to come out? And I was like, oh, I got to do radio. Like, I said it yesterday on the show. I am, look, I like snow as much as the next person. I like playing in the snow. I just, I think that my kids have a much better time playing in the snow than I do. I go out there for a little bit. I'll do a snow angel. I'll throw some snowballs. I'll help build a snowman. I'll even get the shovel out because, you know what? What person who isn't forced to shovel snow doesn't enjoy shoveling a little snow, like at your own leisure? Like when you have to dig out your own car and you're living in the Midwest, whole other story. But, you know, for all the kids that are out there playing in the snow, bless you for that. I think, you know, I think there's nobody that is under the age of, you know, 17 today who's not thrilled with snow being outside. I also think that there are a lot of people who are like, okay, how long is this going to last? And I am in that crew. I had a bunch of things that I had planned today, and I was like, I had somebody coming over to look at putting turf in the backyard. They can't see the lawn. Remember, I've talked about that. So I was like, we're going to have to reschedule this meeting. So in the end, snow for you, good for you. Snow for me. I will be happy looking outside at you playing in the snow for a while. We have a great show today. Matt Prehm, like I mentioned, is going to come up to talk about Oregon football. I want to talk more about, you know, this Oregon State faculty pushback that is going on out there. I also want to talk about a tone-deaf story today. Urban Meyer making a hire that is making a lot of people uncomfortable. I think it is, basically, when you talk about Urban Meyer, you talk about a coach at Ohio State who I think skipped away from what could have been a career-ending situation with him bringing a coach that had a domestic violence issue that was ongoing from Florida, bringing him back and putting him on his staff at Ohio State and then trying to pretend like he didn't know what he didn't know. We all saw Urban Meyer kind of say, oh, I'm never coaching again, all that stuff. But you remember at Ohio State, Urban Meyer was suspended for lying about wide receivers coach Zach Smith, who worked for him at Florida. Smith, as you may remember, was accused of abuse by his ex-wife, Courtney Smith, on multiple occasions. Meyer denied knowledge of it. Then the text messages came out that literally she was telling Urban Meyer, here's what happened. I can't believe that you condone this. Now the newest thing. New head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Urban Meyer, has hired Chris Doyle, a strength coach who lost his job at the University of Iowa just last year, months ago, after black players on the Iowa roster accused him of bullying and racist remarks. Now, these aren't just accusations. There's a 28-page investigative report from a law firm that was hired to do an outside investigation that revealed that there was racial bias, that this coach had essentially made black players feel uncomfortable and had sort of fostered a culture that allowed other coaches to demean players. Now, Iowa parted ways with him. He got $1 million as his separation agreement. He'd been there 20 years. And here comes Urban Meyer. Now, Urban Meyer defended the decision, said, I've known him for 20 years. I vetted the hire. I don't trust Urban Meyer. And I don't believe that Urban Meyer consulted with black players at Iowa or on his own roster before making the hire. I'm looking at Urban Meyer going, you have learned nothing, sir, from your time off, from the embarrassment, from that whole thing. And look, he's an easy guy to root against. He's got the Zach Smith thing in the rearview mirror. Now he has the strength coach. But you want to talk about strength and conditioning coaches? I pointed out earlier that Tyler Shuck, upon leaving Oregon, went out of his way to thank the strength coach. Why did he do that? Why did the quarterback at Oregon, who was leaving, mention by name the strength coach while not mentioning other coaches like his head coach or his offensive coordinator? You know why? Because a strength coach interacts with these players on a daily basis, just like the trainers that Tyler Shuck mentioned in his note. He named them by name. It's because these were people he saw on a daily basis, not just when it came to training and strength, but as it pertained to like seeing them, you know, surrounding his duties as a quarterback at Oregon. The strength coach in an NFL team plays an important role. There with players all the time. Navigates the discussions in the weight room. This is the voice of authority in the locker room. Heavily trusted in the weight room. This is a person that you really want to be a culture keeper inside your entity. If you're Urban Meyer, your strength and conditioning coach is kind of a culture keeper. Aaron Feld at Oregon, he keeps that culture for Mario Cristobal's program when players are working out. So the players are supposed to spend time in here, but if we are taking, you know, Doyle from Iowa, who had problems there, and you're putting him in your Jacksonville Jaguars locker room, you are sending a message to black players on your roster and anybody of color in your organization that says, I don't care. I don't care that this guy was accused of racist remarks. I don't care that this person created an uncomfortable place for his college players to be. I don't care about this 28-page investigative report. I'm just going to do what I'm going to do because my name's Urban Meyer and you're not. It's tone deaf. And Urban Meyer, he already is easy to root against. There's just sort of a smug air about the whole thing. And I'm not going to coach again. Now I am going to coach again. I'm going to call my shot. But I keep looking at Urban Meyer and keep thinking to myself, like, in the end, if you're a Jacksonville Jaguars fan, you're really hoping this works out. This isn't the kind of move that you need to make if you are Urban Meyer and wanting to, you know, sort of bring the legitimacy back to his football coaching career. I remember when he was asked, it was like 3 years ago. Are you done coaching? 2.5 years ago? Are you done coaching? Is this it for you?
Urban, as you sit here now, do you believe you will not coach again?
I believe I will not coach again.
Are you fairly certain?
Like, certain, yes.
There he is. You can't trust this guy. In the end, I'm kind of wondering, like, we're watching in free agency, and we talked about it yesterday, Mark Cuban's decision to sort of stand with players who are not completely on board with the national anthem being played or adamantly against it, don't want to participate in it. Mark Cuban's decision or the posturing that he made in saying that the Mavericks weren't going to play the anthem and then having the NBA come in and say, yes, you are, may have been a business decision. It may have been Mark Cuban simply wanting to stand in solidarity with black players on his roster and maybe throughout the league. Maybe it was a business decision by Mark Cuban. But for Urban Meyer to bring in a strength and conditioning coach who was accused of racism and bullying is absolutely ridiculous. And I kind of wonder, who's going to want to play for him? Who in his locker room is going to raise their hand and say, I would like to be out of here? Because I think that will come for Urban Meyer. Urban, are you going to coach again?
Well, I think I'm very blessed. And this has been, I know, relatively young, but I started young. 17 years as a head coach, 33 years doing this. And just fortunate, and I do believe I'm done.
He's done. He's done.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.